Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you are a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. Okay, this week, it's going to be really sad. I was like, I'm excited, but I'm also sad. But it's a really good movie. It just happens to also be a tragic movie.
Yes.
Another one of those. We're back on the sad
movies. We have
movies.
Like a trend right now of like very sad movies.
I know. Maybe we need to go like happy movie, sad movie. Happy movie, sad movie.
Yeah, we do. We need to balance it out.
Yeah. So this week we are going to recap Gia, which is a 1998 HBO film based on the life of supermodel Gia Carangi. Or Carangi. I feel like it's Carangi now that I said Carangi.
I've heard it both ways, but we'll go with Carangi. You know, we'll
say it. Carangi.
Yeah.
I'm not. Every time I try to say something in Spanish, I sound Italian. So that's my inner.
There's some similarities there.
Mario comes out every time. Anyway, this is an Italian last name. So Gia is played by a young Angelina Jolie,
yes,
who does share quite a resemblance. This movie deals with a lot of very serious issues, such as addiction and HIV/AIDS. To lighten the mood a little bit before we get into it, I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite model? It could be from any era. Like, is there like a, you know, supermodel era, or is it like Cara Delevingne?
Okay,
I don't mean to.
Or is it just her?
I just don't love Cara Delevingne.
Oh, why? Is it because she's like?
I just feel like anyone that might be bi has like fucked with her, and I feel like sometimes it's like fake. Like it's like, oh, okay, we want attention for you, so we're gonna have you be seen with Cara Delevingne. So people are like, maybe she's gay. I don't know, which I guess is not Cara's fault, but
you just hate her for it.
Also, I shouldn't not like someone because I don't find her, like, that pretty. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, if I was going to, like, pick a favorite supermodel, I'm going to pick one that I think is, like, really, really beautiful. And she's not my favorite. So sorry. That was
Like, I hate her so much.
I love her.
I'm like, actually, she's, like, my everything.
Number one.
She's not. But okay, aside from Gia, because I know we both, like, Gia, there is this model that I remember seeing in high school. She's an androgynous model, but her pronouns are she, her. It's Omira Moda. I don't know if you've heard of her.
No.
Yeah, she's done a lot. She was like, I don't know. Okay, I'll just have to send you it. But she went viral. Well, back then she like blew up because she was like taking on more like masculine, like attire, like, yeah. And like, you know, like some
modeling
people,
for,
yeah,
you're looking very Shane today
type, yes, of vibe. She, and there's this one specific one where she's wearing like this suit and her hair is like slicked back and then she's like with another model, but like the people were telling her to move because they were like trying to get the model that was like all dressed up and they're like, no, she's part of the show, like what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And she's just like giving her the jacket and she looks so hot.
You should have put that as your screen on your phone, you know.
How I did have her as a screen, actually.
Another woman in a
like,
suit.
I was like, yes. I was obsessed. And then just when people see her, I'm like, oh my God, she's like this really famous model. Like, you guys didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm really into fashion. How did you not know?
I'm really into fashion in high school as I was wearing sweats. So yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm just like inspiration.
Yeah.
What about name brands?
No, I think, okay, I guess I don't necessarily have one that I can think of, but I love Tyra. And she's like so ridiculous. And I know she's done a lot of not great things, like things on America's Next Top Model where she made people like basically do blackface and stuff.
Yeah. She fucks their hair up.
Well, that too. But remember when she had the shoot where everyone had to be a different race? So she made the like really white girl like put on like dark, dark makeup and have like her hair a different texture.
And she's like, you shouldn't be afraid to do this. Girl, you should be afraid to do this.
But luckily, I feel like that girl didn't get backlash because it was like she was like forced to do it. It wasn't like her choice.
She wasn't like, I want to do this.
Yes. But I do think that like, even though Tyra is problematic, I think she's really beautiful.
She is beautiful.
Yeah, like she has a lot of internalized issues with like her body, but how could you not, having been a supermodel during like, you know, the 90s when it was all about being as like skinny and whatever as possible.
And her beef with Naomi Campbell.
Oh, I also like Naomi Campbell. Yeah. I like that Naomi Campbell is like kind of wild. I mean, I don't know. She shouldn't be throwing phones at people. That's what I always think about is the whole story where she threw a phone at an assistant. So I don't know what the story behind it is. She was probably in the right. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I shouldn't have said that.
I don't know. I like Naomi Campbell. Okay, I take that back because I also heard that she might have been on those like Epstein flight logs. So maybe.
Oh.
I don't know. Point being, my real favorite model is Cindy Crawford.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Yes. And we've talked about Kaia Gerber and how I think she's so beautiful because she looks exactly like her mom.
Yeah.
And she's just so pretty. Like
she is.
And I remember when I was a kid, my mom, because my mom was at the time, I think she's a lot better now, but she was one of those women, like a lot of women, where I just feel like she would be like a hater on other women because maybe she was just jealous. You know, like she'd be like, ugh, Cindy Crawford with that big old mole on her lip. She needs to get a knot off or whatever.
Oh my God.
Like, and I'm like, okay, but like, is it because she's super hot and like a supermodel and probably guys you've dated have been like, she's so hot, right?
Yeah.
Because that's why I, for a long time, didn't like Scarlett Johansson because everyone thought that she was the hottest and I didn't like that when I would talk to someone and they would be like, oh, Scarlett Johansson, because my wife thought Scarlett Johansson was really hot and I was like,
fuck, Scarlett Johansson.
Ugly. And I'm like, she's not ugly. I just was like mad. anyway, so I can understand my mom's haterism in that time, but she was wrong. Cindy Crawford is beautiful.
Yes, she looks great.
It
does, yeah.
Yeah, and she's still so beautiful.
She is. She really is.
She sells this, like, meaningful beauty brand or whatever. I'm like, should I buy this?
When she's just, like, you know, like, trying out, and I'm like, I want to look like Cindy Crawford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to buy this.
Pretty. And you know who's – I can't remember what this girl's name is. I should look it up. In the new – it's something that ends with an et. Like, something et.
Gabrielle.
Yes! Okay. She was in the new I Know What You Did Last Summer movie.
Okay. And I haven't seen the new one, but I know.
Well, I had to look her up because I thought she was really pretty. And I liked that she had, like, kind of like a edgy style.
Yes.
And I looked her up and it said she's a model. So.
Yeah.
She's pretty cool, I think. I think she's very beautiful. Thanks for knowing her name. I was like, it's an et.
When you said et, I was like, that's the only person I can think of right now.
Gabrielle. Yes. Okay. So, thank you for talking to me about models. So, let's move on. This might be super serious again. Do you have any hot takes or burning desires that you want to share about this movie?
Oh, gosh. I think my hot take is not so much like with the movie itself, just like in general. I love this movie. I remember this was like one of the first things we had talked about when we were like getting to know each other.
Yes.
We're like, oh my God, Gia is like so good. And then it is a really good movie, one of the faves, but I hate watching it. Like I do not like watching it. So having to rewatch this, I was like, no, I don't want to do it. It's just so sad because yes, in general, movies are sad. And you guys know I love like when movies have happy endings. But like this is somebody's life.
I know.
And so it's just there's that extra layer.
It does make it extra sad when it's like a true story and it has a sad ending. Because at least when it's like fake, you can be like, okay, even though you know that stuff happens, you're like, it's okay, it's not real, it's not real. But it is real.
But it is real. So I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, that's sad.
What about you?
Well, I wrote in my hot take slash burning desire that Gia was the most Aquarius to ever live, and I love it. I had forgotten that she was an Aquarius, and I had to look it up because I was like, everybody is so like drawn to her, and they're like, wow, she's so unique. And I'm like, girl, is she an Aquarius?
You're like, I just know she is.
She's giving that energy. And she is. Yeah. She was an Aquarius. And there are certain things that she did. Where,
is she January or February Aquarius?
I can't remember. I want to say she – I think she's January 30th.
Okay.
I think. Which – so I'm an Aquarius, you guys.
and, in case you didn't know.
my favorite celebrity Aquarius – I don't know. People might get mad at me because I think that – she might have done something bad recently. Like, maybe she's a Republican now. But I love Paris Hilton. And I think she is such an Aquarius. Because she's just, like, a weirdo. But she's, like, rich and pretty. So people, like, love that. Yeah. And nobody points out that she's a weirdo. But when I watch, like, her documentary, I'm like, she's so interesting. Mm-hmm. And I love her. Oh, and also Evan Peters is an Aquarius.
Okay.
He has the same birthday as my wife.
Oh,
so
cool.
She loves him. She's like, oh. He's my birthday twin. Like, she's like, yes. Obviously. And his ex, Emma Roberts, is also an Aquarius.
Yeah.
But she's an Emma abuser. Roberts.
Oh. We're just loving all the wrong people today, I think.
Whoops. I did like her too, but I remember there was a thing where, like, she got arrested for beating him up. And I was like, oh my God. Oh. That was a long time ago. Anyway, you know. Yeah. I should talk about, okay.
I'm like, you unlocked that memory. That's true.
I'm going to tell you, my birthday twin, I don't know anything bad about this person except that they were married to somebody that turned out to be bad. So,
ooh, who's your
birthday twin? Mia Farrow is my birthday
twin. I love
twin.
Mia Farrow.
Yes, and I think she is such an Aquarius. She's like this humanitarian that she like is. She's always adopting kids and like giving money to things. And she loves animals. She's just very like. She's interesting, but I wish that she wasn't with Woody Allen, but I think she hates him now because she realized that he was a creepy weirdo. He married one of the adopted kids. I think she believes her daughter that he abused her daughter.
Yeah.
And so I like Mia Farrow and she's my birthday twin. Anyway.
Good birthday twin.
Yes. Anyway, Gia is such an Aquarius and I feel like they portrayed that really well in this movie. Especially like in the beginning, because I think at some point the addiction kind of takes over her personality. So you're not seeing as much of her real personality without, like the drugs.
Yeah.
But like definitely in the beginning, she's like, has this very different style and she stands out to everybody at the modeling agency and stuff. So. Love it. I love an Aquarius, but mainly,
Aquarius.
Well, I just hear about so many Aquarians that are like kind of like bitches, but I'm like, we're like bitches in like a cool way. Like,
oh my God. There was this one girl who was like trying, I know completely off topic, but she was trying to like protest and she was saying like, if you do this, like something is cunty and she thought it was still like, the definition bad? Of, yeah, like, if you're a cunty, you're bad. And so she was doing that, and people were like, whoa. She's like, oh, my God, I just learned that there's, like, a new meaning, and it means, like, cool. Yes, you're cool. So she was
so
like,
cut.
Yeah, she's like, if you like ice or something, you're cunty.
And oh, my God, like, so people were like, oh,
and then she explained
she loves
it.
Ice?
Yeah, she was out there with her signs, so it made me think of that, where it's like, bitches. No, we're bitches.
Yes, I was also thinking that, like, meme or whatever that's, like, I'm a girl's girl, but I'm a bitch to a bitch or whatever. And it made me laugh. But I do have a thing where every time I don't like a woman, whether it's like someone in real life or like a celebrity, I think about why that is. And I frame it in, am I letting like the patriarchy shape my view of this woman? Mm-hmm. Right? Because there have been people I've met like at work or whatever. And I'm like, oh, she's kind of a bitch. But then I'm like, she's just a boss lady. And then I like reframe it and I'm like, love her. She's cool. And so, I think there's something to be said. Sometimes I forget that there are like women that are bad because I love women and I always think women are just better than men. And then I see like, I saw this really terrible story about this woman murderer that killed this other girl in the 90s. And I was like, She's like, evil no. woman. That's so sad. It I forget. Is.
It's heartbreaking because, you know, sometimes
women
we,
and women first. Yeah. So
how you? We killing? Always say women can do no wrong, but sometimes they do wrong.
Yeah, because usually on Snap they're killing a husband, and he was probably an asshole.
Yeah, so I'm like not he as probably upset about deserved it.
But when
it.
They kill another girl or a woman, I'm like, when they're you
genuinely
doing?
Evil, and I'm like, oh my yeah. god, what?
Yeah. yeah, I don't like that. Anyway. we're going to take a little breaky-poo, and when we get back, we'll get into the recap. So get your tissues ready, because like we said, this is a yeah. sad one.
Welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week, we are discussing Gia.
Yes. Okay, so something that I was going to look up what you call this type of movie. Maybe you know. Sorry, there's like a hair on my lip. You go, if you're on YouTube, you see me. I keep touching my lip. It's like stuck in my lip
I hate
gloss.
When that happens. When so, it's like there's like that hair yeah. that's there. Yeah.
And I shaved my little mustache, so it's not like attached to me.
Yeah, I know it's like, not.
It's probably a cat hair. Like,
but it's one of those that you can't like
I get can't
out.
Get it.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. Anyway, I should leave it alone. Something that our editor said was that I have to stop touching my face. Because I think I'm always like, oh, I have something on my face. And then in the video no. version, she's like, you keep covering your face.
You're like, I feel like it. You do your face and I'm always with my hair. I'm like,
I'm like both sides.
I know.
okay. So I don't know what this is called because it's not a mockumentary, but it's like,
I was going to say,
sort of, yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like, it's filmed as if it's a documentary, but it's not. Like, they yeah. have interviews with people playing real people.
Yeah.
And they're talking to the camera as if it's a documentary. But then there's also, like, full acting scenes with yeah. the same people. So, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt like I said this to my wife. I was like, I feel like this was really popular at that time in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I've never seen another movie that does this. What other movie are
There's
you talking
gotta
about?
There's got to be another movie that
like,
does
I
that.
I don't know. This one. I thought there were more, but I couldn't think of any off the top of my head. So if anyone can think of any other movies that are yeah. like made to look, it's kind of, it's giving The Office, but okay. that is a show. But you know, like in The Office, they would yeah. like talk to the camera and it was supposed to be a documentary.
But then there's actual, acted. Yeah, yeah. You know what? There's yeah. got to be movies
I
like
just.
That.
I just like how much time I spent explaining this and people probably totally understood what it They're is. Like, and I'm yeah. like, let me tell you, it's kind of like a documentary, but not. Do you get it, you guys? Okay.
My it's wife. Okay. You have to explain. I always, I think the same thing when we like are recapping these movies.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give the people a visual, especially if they've never seen it, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So when they do like the little like flashback scenes or like they cut from here to there, we're like, okay, they're cutting to this scene, they're doing that.
And then so, when it's a flashback, I'm always like,
you're like going back.
yes, okay, good. Yes, because yeah. sometimes people would rather just listen to a recap than actually watch the movie. And that's what we're here for, whether you have seen it and you wanna listen to it again, but listen to people talk about it instead. We're like the commentary on a DVD. Did you
we
ever watch
are,
those?
Yes. I used to love watching those.
Me
except
too.
For when I felt like they didn't. Sometimes I feel like they didn't explain it well.
Oh.
And they would make me mad because I'm like, I could do a way better job at this.
Yeah. yeah
and like, then now it is my job.
Yeah. I would watch. Okay. I don't know that I've talked about this on the podcast, but I was obsessed with Good Charlotte oh. when I was like, oh my God. When I was like. Probably like 13 to 15, mm-hmm. obsessed. I went to a Good Charlotte concert in Santa Barbara. My mom took me because I was 14 and she wasn't going to let me go alone. Benji, who I was in love with, threw his towel into the audience and me and four other girls caught it and we were fighting over it. And so all the moms had to like cut it.
I was going to say, did they cut it?
Yes,
okay.
And so I kept his sweaty towel for like, I had it until I was wow. probably like 25. I kept it for like years and years. It was like my favorite yeah. concert. Anyway, I had a DVD, me mm-hmm. and my cousin, who was also obsessed with Good Charlotte, would watch this DVD over and over again. And I don't even, it was like, I truly don't know what the DVD was of. I think it had like some of their videos and mm-hmm. then it had like some behind the scenes stuff, but you could watch the whole thing with commentary if oh, you wanted cool. and we would watch it and we were like, oh my God, it's like we're there with Benji and Joel.
You're like, I have to.
So weird. Anyway, I just thought that Benji was cool because he had a lot of tattoos and piercings. And that's I feel cool. like in my heart, I always knew that that's who I wanted to be when I grew up. Not yeah. that I wanted to be Benji, but I wanted to be a cool tattooed pierced person with like interesting style.
You were like, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. I, like, you know, I fuck with him.
Me. Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about the actual movie. So,
I know, right?
Like, I want to talk about Good Charlotte. Okay, so the film starts by giving this little, like, bio snippet, you know, when there's just, like, words mm-hmm. so you can read them. I always read it out loud when there are other people in the
Me
room.
Me too. I read it out loud so that in case they're not paying attention, I'm like, are you listening to what, like, yes. can you hear me? Oh, my God.
And Juan's like, I can read. I'm like, oh, I don't know if you were looking at something else. Okay, so it's a little bio, like, snippet about the real Gia Marie Carangi, who was born in 1960 in Philadelphia and became a famous model in the early 80s. So, like I was trying to explain earlier, the film is made kind of like a documentary in some parts with actors playing the parts of people that she knew. And they show, it starts with them showing it like documentary style. They show a few different people talking to the camera about what made her so special. And it's because she's an Aquarius.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, and she's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, they mentioned that she was very beautiful. But they also mentioned that she did drugs. So we know that there's going to be some sort of maybe downfall at this point. And then we flash to seeing Angelina Jolie as Gia walking down a runway to like a bunch of fanfare in like a fancy dress. So it's like we're seeing her. And then we go flashback and we see Gia as a kid played by Mila Kunis. And she's hanging out with her mom while her mom gets ready to go out. And so I think part of what we gather multiple things from this scene. They're doing this thing where the mom and the daughter are saying this, like, you do be the most beautiful, the prettiest girl. Like, yeah, I do be that. I do be the prettiest girl. So I don't know. It's like some saying that they do, but I feel like they're also showing us that the mom was like really beautiful and was like, she wanted to be like her mom in some ways, but
they're
then,
doing affirmations with each other. Honestly. Yes.
But, we also see that the mom was kind of like maybe a little wild cause she was going out without the dad. And then we flash forward a few hours and we see the mom come home and the dad is yelling at her and calling her a whore and being like, who are you with? Blah, blah, blah. And Gia sees this and hears them fighting. And so they're kind of showing us some of her trauma. And then the mom moves out and leaves the kids with the dad. So that definitely shows up later because she seems to have a lot of issues with abandonment. And it's like, yeah, because her mom like left. So then we flash forward to seeing her as like a teenager working at her dad's restaurant. And I said she's very cool and very Aquarius with spiky colored hair, a tattoo, and no bra. And then a guy named TJ comes into the restaurant and they become instant friends and they go hang out. She's like, okay, bye guys. I'm in charge because my dad's the owner and I'm leaving.
She's like, shift's over.
She's like, I'm going to go hang out with this guy I just met. And so they meet some fashion industry people that are like being creepy and staring at them, but they end up hanging out with them. And those fashion industry people invite them over to take pictures and like do sex stuff. I don't know that they specifically say that's what they want, but it's kind of obvious the way they're, like, leering at them. And they're, like, older. Not, like, super old, but they're definitely older than, like, the 17-year-olds or whatever. And then she – so Gia gets TJ and the photographer guy to make out, and I loved that. I don't know why I loved it so much. I just was, like – I felt like she was being, like, the – she knew that TJ probably wanted to, like, make out with a guy, but he – was not like ready to start
to do that.
So she's like, I'm gonna make out with both of them and then make them make out.
She's
and then,
like, power play.
Yes. And then she left and went and made out with the girl.
She's like, anyways.
I was like, wow, I love her.
She's a true friend.
Yes. She's like, you're welcome. I'm gonna go over to this hot older woman. And then in the morning, we see Gia go to her mom's house and sneak in while she's gone. So it's like, she obviously has some mommy issues. Like, she misses her mom. Then we see her and TJ heading to New York and going to Wilhelmina Models. So basically that guy that was taking the pictures or whatever was like, she's so fashion, but Philadelphia is like not ready for her. Like she needs to go to New York where like the start of everything, right? And so All the other girls at the Wilhelmina, like, casting office are very basic, but she's edgy and different because she's an Aquarius.
And that needs to be the catchphrase now.
Obviously. And the receptionist is a cunt, and not in a good way.
Yeah, in a bad way.
In a bad way. And so Gia carves her own name into the desk. And because the receptionist was like, what's your name? Gina or whatever she said. And she's like, G-I-A, and carves it. And she's like, can you remember it now? And anyway, I was like, she's so cool. And then I was like, Wilhelmina thinks so too, because she signs her. And TJ moves Gia into an apartment, and then he leaves to go back to Philly. And she hates being left because of her mom leaving.
Yeah.
She acts like she's going to do sex stuff with him, and he like knows that she's not going to, and she takes off his underwear and wears them, which is random, but I think maybe they were trying to be like, look, she's gay. She thinks it's like she has no interest in his penis, but she wants to wear his underwear and thinks it's
she's
interesting.
She's like, yeah, this is cool.
But I was upset as a lesbian because they showed a hairy man butt when they took his underwear off, and I don't like seeing that. I was like, ugh.
Jump scare.
Basically, I was like, no.
You're like, oh my God.
Why did you show me that?
They need to have like a trigger warning.
Yeah, honestly. Like, that's, no, I'll tell you the other story later. Okay, so after he leaves, we see that she's very lonely, and she calls Wilhelmina in the middle of the night. And it's sad because she's literally a teenager. She's like 17 and she's all alone. And it turns out that she can't sleep because she's nervous about her big photo shoot, which is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So she called Wilhelmina, because I feel like Wilhelmina, who she calls Willie, kind of becomes like a mother figure. Mm-hmm. And so Willie is like, well, just take half of a Nembutal. And so I feel like this is like showing like taking drugs for things is kind of normalized, because she's like, oh, everyone does this, you know?
She's like, just do that.
Yeah, it'll like just
make you feel better.
You can go to sleep. Yeah. And so then the next day, she's sitting outside the photo shoot, like, place building, mm-hmm. and she looks like a homeless person. She's like wearing a hoodie and like comfy clothes, and she has like a coffee cup, and she's just like holding it out, like, and so these other like models walk in and they think she's a homeless person, and they put change in her
coffee cup.
And so that was awkward, because then she's like, huh, because there was coffee she's in there, like, well, it wasn't even an empty cup. And then she goes inside and sees the same models or whatever. And the photographer or the assistant guy mm-hmm. is like, can I do anything for you? And she's like, yeah, I need more coffee, please.
Because it's like, it has she's like, there's in change there. In here now.
Yeah. And then she meets the love of her life, Linda, the makeup artist, who, oh my gosh, I can't remember the actress's name, but she's very beautiful.
Michelle. Something.
I think it was Elizabeth something.
Oh my God, you're so right.
I don't
Elizabeth
know.
Some, oh she my was God, in Elizabeth Lost. Something.
That's what Elizabeth. I knew her from. Warren? No.
Is that a
presidential person?
Elizabeth.
It's Elizabeth Warren. It's Kamala
Every time
Harris,
you keep son. Saying Elizabeth, I keep wanting to say Elizabeth Banks. I'm like, that's not no, the right not. Person.
She's also very beautiful, but much younger than this
Elizabeth
person.
Elizabeth Williams? I don't know.
Damn. We'll find out later. But anyway, she meets Linda, the makeup artist, who is going to be the love of her life. And after the regular photo shoot, the photographer is like, does anybody want to stay and make real art or whatever? Mm-hmm. And Gia stays. And the other models leave. But she said she'll only stay if Linda stays. So she already likes her. And she, like, does nudes. And then she keeps, like, kind of staring at Linda. And then
Elizabeth Mitchell.
Mitchell!
Thank you for the fact check.
Not Warren. Okay.
Or Williams.
Yeah.
Or Bing.
Yes. Okay. So then the photographer is like, get in there. And she's like, you want me in the shot? And so then she does nudes with her, which I feel like is very sensual. They're very like turned on. And then I was like, yeah. I was like, it's all very sensual except the creepy male photographer that's there.
I know, right? Take him out of the equation.
Yes. And then they have sex that night at Gia's place. And when Gia wakes up, Linda is already dressed and at the elevator. And Gia hates being left, right? So Gia walks out naked and is like, oh my God, why are you leaving? And Linda's like, well, I have a boyfriend. And Gia's sad because she's like, everyone leaves me. Hmm. And then the elevator opens and there's men in there and they're like You're naked. Oh, a naked woman. And then Linda does get in the elevator. And that made me sad because I hoped that she wouldn't get in the elevator.
Be like, I hate my boyfriend. Yeah. I'm in love with you.
Yeah. Also, this made me laugh. I think me and my wife both said this. I don't know. I am so Gia in this situation because I don't give a fuck about being naked. I would be like, what are you doing?
I'm like, hold on. Where are you
going? And Bob would be like, what are you doing? So it just made me laugh. So then we jump to seeing Gia doing another photo shoot. And then she goes to Studio 54 with another model. Mm-hmm. And they're doing coke. And so we see some drug stuff. And then we see a montage of more photo shoots. But I think we're also supposed to see that she's getting more and more, like, into drugs. But she's also making more and more money.
Yeah.
And we see her go pick Linda up in a fancy sports car. And I was like, she's trying to woo
her. Of course,
her.
The sports car. Yes. Right?
And so then she takes her to visit her mom and introduces Linda as her girlfriend. But her mom doesn't really understand. Like,
mom's
I don't
like, okay, your girlfriend.
It.
Like, your friend.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people, you know.
Yes. And then she's like, so, do you have a boyfriend? And she's like, no, Linda has a boyfriend, though. I have a girlfriend. And the mom's
she's
like,
she's
that's
my
not
girlfriend.
The same. Yeah. So I was like, I don't, the mom doesn't get it. Yeah. Whatever. And then she shows her mom that she's on the cover of Vogue and her mom is so excited. Hmm. And you can tell that she just really wants love and acceptance from her mom and like for her mom to be proud of her. And then she brings her mom to New York to her apartment and the mom is kind of judgmental because she like walked in and was like, and she's like, well, I got it like on late notice or something. Mm-hmm. And the mom's like, yeah, I can tell. And I'm like, what the hell?
Why are you being such a bitch?
Bitch. and so then they show Gia keeps calling and sending flowers to Linda. And
like, how do you not like how can you like just get that attention from her and not be like, oh my God, I'm leaving my boyfriend.
I know. They show Linda at her apartment and her apartment
she's
is filled
crazy.
With yellow roses. And the boyfriend is like, who are all these from? Like, what the hell? And anywho, I also had to mention, because I love to talk about myself, she kept getting yellow roses for Linda. Mm-hmm. And I did look up the meaning of yellow roses and they mean friendship, which I don't think she knew the meaning of that.
Yeah.
But I love yellow roses, and the first date that Juan and I went on when she wore flip-flops, and I was like, oh my God, why are you wearing flip-flops? Even though she'll defend it to this day because we were going to the beach, but I just don't think you should have the dogs out on your first date.
I am sorry. I think this is one of the few moments I disagree with you. She's at the beach.
But it wasn't the beach during the day. We went to go sit and talk at the beach at night after, like,
but
she
just didn't want to get sand in her shoes.
Yeah.
If there's ever a place for flip-flops.
That's true, but I hate flip-flops. Anyway, I love her.
She should have known.
she should have known. But she brought me a yellow rose from a random person's garden that she, like, picked
that's
along
so
the way.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I love yellow roses. Anyway, within one night, we see Gia go to Linda's apartment, and Linda and the boyfriend are coming home from, like, being out, and the boyfriend is, like, drunk. Anyway, Gia confronts Linda about not answering her calls, mm-hmm. and the boyfriend's being annoying. He's like, I'm wrecked. And then he's like, you're beautiful. Should we all party? And I'm like,
my
ew,
God. Nobody
wants you, sir.
Right.
And Gia tells Linda that she's the most beautiful woman she's ever seen, and she kisses her, and then she pushes the boyfriend as she leaves. And
she's like, ugh.
Yeah, and the boyfriend's like, what? What the fuck? And she's like, that was the florist, you know? Because
the flowers, they
made, like, a joke about the florist. So, I don't know. I thought it was really cool that Gia did that.
She's like, Linda's mine.
Yeah. And so then the next day, the mom needs to go home, and Gia starts throwing a fit, and it's so sad because she obviously has issues because of her leaving them when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And then we see a montage of more photo shoots and how busy and popular she is, and then we also see her doing more drugs and feeling sad and used and abandoned. And we see her on a plane talking to her mom, but then the mom turns into Linda. And then Linda turns into Wilhelmina. It's a whole thing. So it's like they're showing us how busy she is, but also I think just how like disorienting everything is, and that she is also doing a lot of drugs. So it's adding to the disorientation. Anyway, at some point when she, when the person she's talking to is Linda, she says, I will be king and you will be queen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really sweet. And it's from something, but I don't remember what it's from. And then and then Linda turns into Wilhelmina and she's talking about her future and wanting to have children and how she would tell them that being somebody doesn't make you anybody. And so she's just having a lot of inner thoughts and turmoil. Then we find out that Wilhelmina is sick and in the hospital, and we see Gia doing heavier drugs. And then at the hospital, a guy tries to like poach her and be her agent. He's basically like, so since Wilhelmina is dying, you're going to need a new agent. You should come to me. And
I know that's
fucked up. Like, that's so sad. Mm-hmm. And Gia is mad and she's like, would never leave Willy. Like she loves her. So then Gia tells Willy she wants to take some time to rest and not work. But Willy tells her that this is not the time to do it. She's like, you're like really hot right now.
Like you are on. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we kind of see that she is like struggling. But of course, she's going to do what her mother figure, Willy, says. Yeah. So then Willy / Wilhelmina dies and Gia is so sad and she cries a lot and she does more drugs. And then we see her at a photo shoot and she's coming down and like getting sick from like, I don't know, like what's the word? Like detoxing, like running out of drugs. Yes, withdrawing. And like, what is the word? Running out of drugs. And so she is like not doing good. And she is asking random people that are working on the photo shoot if they can go downtown and like score more drugs for her because she's like sick. And no one is helping her. And then she's like, it's like a shoot with a motorcycle. And so she asked the male model on the motorcycle to like actually take off and he like drives her downtown or whatever. So she just like leaves the photo
shoot. She's like, bye, I need to go.
Yes. So she's dressed in fancy photo shoot clothes and she's so sick and walking in this downtown area looking for drugs. And she goes into an alley into like a drug house and asks for drugs. And there's like a guy in there that's like, I'll let you use my last needle or like I'll let you use my shot that I have preloaded, which is really nice of him because he's obviously
so sweet.
He's obviously like an addict and he was about to shoot himself up and he's sacrificing it for this woman he doesn't know.
That is true. That is unheard of, I think.
I'm not saying you should go around just shooting people up to be nice, but it's like kind of selfless of him, but also it's fucked up because she says, I've never shot up, and he's like, this is all I have. And so he like introduces her to shooting up, which is like in his mind, I think he thinks he's being nice.
Yeah, he's like, I'm helping her because she's clearly sick
and she needs this. Yeah. But and then you know, this is probably not a brand new needle that he's using. Yeah. And so this could be the beginning of where she ends up getting HIV.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're just showing this as an example. Maybe there were more times with sharing needles, but this was like the first time.
I feel like, I agree with you. That's definitely probably like how they're introducing, like, you know.
Yeah, that
this is how
behavior
she's
that we
it.
Know can be risky for bloodborne and sexually transmitted illnesses. So she shows up at Linda's house looking all beat up and asks if the boyfriend's there, and she says, I don't have a boyfriend anymore. Like, okay, finally.
Literally.
I'm like oh my god, this Angelina Jolie is like, you should break up with your boyfriend and be with me. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Sending you all these yellow roses and like doing all these things for her. I'm like, literally the moment, like honestly, the moment she went home with her, I'd be like, I don't have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like I literally am like.
Yeah. Like weird. Okay. So then Linda takes care of her and then Gia decides to go home to Philly and get away from all the drugs. But that also means like stopping work for a while. And Wilhelmina's husband is now over the company and he is so mad and he said he hopes that she dies. And I'm like, wow, what a dick.
I know.
Like, I hope she dies in Philly because she left.
Because she's not working.
Yes.
Right now. Like, okay.
Yes. Okay. And so then we see Gia start methadone and I'm proud of her. Then Linda still has to work in New York. And so like she's living in Philadelphia with her, but when she goes to work in New York, she's not there.
Yeah.
You know, and whenever she leaves, Gia is sad because of her abandonment issues.
Yeah.
She hangs out with her mom, and her mom is such a fucking bitch. Her mom is like, you're getting fat and slouchy, and look at your skin. Like, it's because of the methadone. Like, I'm like, what? You want her
She's
to be
literally
back
getting,
on
yeah.
heroin because you thought she looked better that way and because she was, like, making more money and being your famous daughter. Like, you only appreciated her when she was sick.
Yeah.
And her mom sucks. And so she's like, her mom tells her, like, you need to get back to work or whatever. And she's like, I'm never going back to work. And Gia calls Linda's house to talk to her. And the boyfriend answers. And she loses it and steals her mom's money and jewelry and goes on, like, a bender. Mm-hmm. And she's getting chased by the cops. And then she, like, stops and she yells at the cop and is like, why are you following me? And the cop's like, ma'am. And she's like, I'm trying to get to New York. Stop following me. You're bothering me. And I'm like, it's so funny.
She's just like, hold on.
Again. Apparently, she does end up getting arrested. But it was just so funny that he like, was like shocked. Like, what? She's just yelling at me? And so she gets arrested. Linda like bails her out or whatever, picks her up. And she tries to blame Linda for her choices. She's like, well, if it wasn't because your boyfriend was there, I wouldn't have done this, you know? And Linda's like, he was literally, like, just there to pick up stuff. Like, you know, he shouldn't have answered the phone.
You jumped to conclusions. Yeah.
And then Gia's like, I have to go back to work to support us. And I can't live this way. Like, she needs to have more money, whatever. And people don't want to take her, like, agents don't want to take her because they know that she's an addict. Like, she didn't hide it. She ran away from that photo shoot. She was very high on multiple photo shoots. The creepy guy from the hospital that tried to, like, steal her, he didn't even really want her. But he's like, we're doing this TV special about models, and we want you to be on it and talk about how you used to do drugs, but now you don't. And, like, you're sober. And if you do that, then I will take you on as client. And so she said, okay. Of course, when she goes to the, like, recording, whatever, the filming, she is all nervous. And then she goes into the bathroom and she's snorting stuff and Linda sees her. And she's obviously high when she's filming the special. That's like,
she's so sober right now.
Like, she just keeps losing, like, track of her sentences. And it's like, this is so sad. So later that night, Linda is in her apartment and Gia comes to the window and, like, knocks on the window, and then she breaks the fucking window. She, like, kicks the window and breaks it. And she's like, sorry.
She's like, oops, like, she's being cute.
And Linda's like, what the fuck? And Linda's like, we're over. And Gia flips out and is like, who are you to judge me about one line? Like, I just needed the one line or whatever. And Linda knows she's lying, that she probably hasn't been sober for a while. And the scene is so sad because they do love each other, but basically Gia chooses the drugs over her. Like, there's, like, she has, like, a little, like, vial, and, like, Linda takes it from her, and then she acts like she isn't going to try to take it back from Linda, but then she takes it back. And so Linda is, like, pretty much you just – major decision. Yeah. Like, I can't be with you when you're self-destructing like this.
Yeah.
So then we're back at the beginning scene of her on the runway in that, like, fancy dress that they showed. But we see more of it. And we see that she's kind of, like, flipping out and acting weird at the end on the runway. And then she runs to the back to shoot up. And we see her veins looking really messed up. She has, like, a big, like an abscess type of thing on her hand, and she gets blood on the fancy dress, and then she passes out, and then her model friend comes and wakes her up, you just see that she's, like, really fucked up. And we see the agent telling her, like, I can't really get you any work right now. And she gets one photo shoot. She's obviously so fucked up there. She starts freaking out because she has a knife that she wants to keep on her at all times, but they don't need it in the photo. So somebody took the knife out of the photo. Then she starts yelling at everybody. I think this is the same shoot where they're, like, making her hide her arms behind her because you can see all her track marks and the abscess and stuff. And so that photographer really liked her, and he really wanted to give her a job, and she is, like, thankful. But it's just so sad because you just see – like, the other people there are like, why did you want her? You know? Yeah. And he's like, I want to work with her. Like, I love her. It's just sad. And so After the shoot, she calls her mom from a plane and tells her she doesn't feel good. And the mom's like, well, you're just tired. And she's like, can I come home again? And the mom is like, no, because you know what happened last time, because she stole all the stuff and da-da-da. And so she then passes out at a photo shoot in Germany, and she's getting sicker and really struggling. And then when she's back in New York, TJ comes to visit, and she's, like, not doing well at all. She's, like, acting really weird. She tries to have sex with him for money because she doesn't know where she put her money, and she needs more drugs. And she's like, I'll let you fuck me if you pay me. And he's like, this is, like, not
He's like, Gia. This is not like, the GI. I know. Like, yeah.
This is my friend. And she's not acting the same. Then he tries to give her like a hug and like tell her to calm down. And she cuts him with the knife that she's always having. And then she like laughs about it. But then she also looks sad. So it's like she is like lost it. She's like doesn't know what's going on. He takes her to rehab and she has no money. And the social worker person at the rehab is like, okay, well, you have to declare yourself indigent, which is just so wild because she was literally so rich a while ago. But like she obviously like squandered it all. And so we see her detoxing in the rehab and she's like so miserable. She was doing group and family therapy and her mom was being a cunt about it. Of course, her mom's like, it's not my fault, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, girl, I mean, as when you a played parent, a
part you need, in her, yeah.
Yeah, you need to look at like, what could it have been? Did I do anything?
And she didn't just really do it out of, you know,
And so Gia calls Linda to apologize, like to make amends. It was one of the steps in the rehab. And she apologizes for all the things she did to her when she was not sober. And Linda is like listening to her leave the message on the answering machine.
Yeah.
And then she answers it. And so like, Gia is so excited to talk to her. And she tells Linda, like, I'm going to call you in a few days when I'm out of rehab. Is that okay? And Linda says, okay. So I feel like she's so excited because she just loves Linda.
I know.
So once she gets out, she's working at a retail store. And her mom is being really judgmental about everything she does. It's like, she's such a bitch.
I know.
And her mom asks her to move in with her. And she says no. And I'm proud of her. She's like, I'm really trying to be the best that I can.
Yeah.
And then she gets dizzy and has a fever and passes out. So they take her to the hospital and then they find out that she has AIDS. And AIDS was like new. Like they didn't know that much about it at this time yet. And basically she has pneumonia, which was caused because she has AIDS, which is makes your immune system like very low. And they were like, well, we can get rid of the pneumonia, but we can't get rid of AIDS. Like, you're just going to have this. And she's like, how did I get it? And they're like, we don't know for sure, but we see higher instances in intravenous drug users. And yeah, there's no way to get rid of it. So it's a fucking death sentence. So it's really sad. She was finally like getting better and she was feeling so positive because she was going to be able to talk to Linda. So when she tells TJ, he's so sad and she tells him that she thinks there's a reason for everything and that God has a plan for her, but it's just not in this life. And then we see that her mom is telling TJ that she can't take her to her house because her husband is afraid to have her there because of the AIDS. And it's just another example of her mom choosing a man or choosing like her life over her daughter's. Yeah. And it's like, she's such a bitch. Oh, that's literally what I wrote. She's such a bitch. And then the mom puts her up in a hotel. And it's not even like a fancy hotel. It's like a hotel where people go and do drugs. And I'm like, why would you put
a place, drug addict
in this type of hotel? Like, this is more tempting for her. And then she goes to see Linda and she looks so sick. And she tells Linda she can't stay long. And Linda says, so sad. Linda says, I thought we would have more time. And she says, not today. And Linda's like, it's okay because we have all the time in the world. And it's so sad because she doesn't know that she's literally dying. Like, they don't have time. And Linda's like, so, like, what are you doing now? Like, what are your plans? And she's like, oh, I might go back to school, maybe, like, have some kids. And Linda's like, oh, are you, like, straight now? Like, are you, like, going to date a man? And she's like, you don't need a husband to have kids. Like, yeah. Yeah, I love her. That. Yeah. And then she said, you were the one who always had my heart, you know? And she said, I know. I'm just like, oh, it's so sad. Then she gives her these journals that she's been keeping, like, a long time. She's mm-hmm. been writing journals, and she's like, will you hold on to these for me? And she's like, you can read them if you want to. And Linda's like, I don't want to read them. And she's like, no, I want you to read them. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you can make sense of them. I never could.
Yeah.
And also, it's because she fucking knows she's dying. And it's so sad. But she frames it as, just hold on to him for a little bit, you know? And then Linda asks if she'll see her again. And she's like, do you want to see me again? And she's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Linda says she wants to get a house at the beach in the summer and to give their relationship another chance. And Gia says that she would like that too. And Gia says she has to go. And as she leaves, she tells her, you were the one, the only one, and you were amazing. And they're both crying as she leaves. And then we see Gia go to a homeless camp to score some drugs with money she had saved. So I think that we're supposed to understand that basically she wants to overdose on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I'm going to get high one last time to die because I know that I'm going to die anyway. I might as well go out this way. But because men are fucking evil, instead they rape her. And so I don't even think she gets any of the drugs, and she gets raped and then goes to the hospital, and her mom comes to visit her and finally says she'll take her home. And then we see her spending time with her mom at home while she's near the end. Like, she looks so sick. She's, like, lost hair, and she has, like, the lesions and stuff on her face and body. And she wanted to make a video about drugs. Like, she told TJ that she wanted to make, like, a PSA video, like, after-school video for mm-hmm. kids about, like, how they don't need to do drugs and blah, blah, blah. But she ended up dying before they ever got the money for the camera. And at the end, she's telling her mom that same thing that they used to say when she was little. She's like telling her mom, you do be the prettiest girl, whatever. And then she asks her mom if she forgives her. And she says, oh, yeah, of course, honey. And she says, good, because I forgive you too. And I like that they showed that. Because like, I don't think the mom knew how to react, but I think maybe she's realizing that she did some things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we see that there's so much blood on the bed, and the mom runs to get the nurse, and then we find out that she died that day. And so that was kind of how they, like, wrapped it up. We see people in, like, these big hazmat suits because it's like they didn't know AIDS could be trans, how people could get it. And so the people come in these hazmat suits to remove her body, and then we see, like, her basically, like, it's like her spirit, right? Like, stand up, and she's her regular beautiful self again. And she walks away because she's like walking into the afterlife. So it's really sad. But I feel like, I don't know. I don't want to say it's like a rite of passage to see this movie, but I kind of feel like it is, because I feel like it's a really important movie, especially like, I mean, to be made in 1998, it's because it was an HBO movie, so it wasn't, like, in theaters.
Yeah.
But, like, they did not shy away from her queerness, and they did not shy away from, like, the realities of HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. But I think if it had been made, I don't know. I feel like if it was, like, a big box office movie, I feel like they might have, in the 90s, tried to hide the gay part to try to make her seem somehow more sympathetic. I don't know. I feel like that was, like, a thing. So it's so sad. It's an extra tragic lesbian story because it is a real person story.
I know.
Unlike Lost and Delirious, where we were like, it's okay. It's not real.
Yeah, it's not real. Like, you know.
Yeah. Now I got distracted because I got too sad. Okay, so due to the subject matter of this movie and the relationship to someone's real life story, we felt it would be inappropriate to do a Munch Merge Murder. Instead, we wanted to give our key takeaways from the film.
Yeah.
So, and we kind of talked about some of them, but do you have any key takeaways that you want to discuss?
Yeah, I feel like I agree. Since it wasn't a box, like, office movie, mm-hmm. they definitely would have cut a lot of stuff out. Mm-hmm. I think they would have been like, okay, obviously showing, like, the portion of her being, like, addicted to drugs and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think the importance of it, too, is, like, even though we watch these movies, obviously, some of them are like very gay and others are like, we have to read between the lines. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just one of those like important stories. Not every story is happy and people live the perfect life. Like, yes, she was queer, but she dealt with very real things that everybody deals with. Well, some more than others, I know, but it's just so sad. And I agree. So it sort of is like almost like a rite of passage to watch this movie. I feel like it's very important. It's something that people weren't talking about even in the 90s. So,
I put that I like that this film shows how complicated addiction can be. I appreciate that. I like that it shows how a person being an addict affects so many other people, not just the addict. Like, it shows her relationship with Linda is really, like, ruined because of her addiction. And it's so sad because she, like, obviously loved Linda so much. And then Linda wanted to be with her, but then it's like the addiction like took over. And also I said it shows that even when someone seems to have everything, they can be suffering really deeply. And it humanizes addiction, and it is really heartbreaking to see her self-destruct. Like, this person that it's like she could have had everything. Like, she was like so beautiful and famous and rich, you know. And so I don't know, I had those were my key takeaways. I also thought I don't know what it would be like to have like been an adult during the early days of the AIDS epidemic. Because, you know, when you see interviews with a lot of older gay people, it's like they like lost like half their friends. It's so sad. So anyway, it's like a really sad episode, you guys.
It is. It's a very sad episode.
Like, I really want to talk about it. I was like, when we first met, we were like, oh my God, I love Gia. And then we're like, wait, this is so sad. Why are we bonding over this tragic movie? But anyway, it was really well made. And I think that they did. I think that if she really did want to do some sort of like a movie to help kids not do drugs, I think that making this kind of homage to her was done really well, because it didn't shy away from the mistakes that she made and it showed like the really bad things that can happen. But also, like I said, like it humanizes her. Like, you still see her as a person and a person that you're rooting for. Anywho, so what would you rate this movie?
I think we're both gonna have the same rating. It's a 5 out of 5 cherries.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, even though I hate dead movies, it's too good to not.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Always, also on a positive note, always anything with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
First of all, she's so beautiful. Like, I know there was like an era in the early 2000s where it was like every straight woman was like, oh my God, my woman crush is Angelina Jolie. Like, I would go gay for her, blah, blah, blah. And I always thought that was really annoying. She's so beautiful.
Like,
she's
but just, I get it.
I understand. Like, she's just so pretty. And the thing is that she's also not one of those women that like she's just really pretty, so she gets roles. Mm-hmm. She's such a good actress.
She is.
And I feel like she acted her ass off in this movie. Mm-hmm. And another movie that I was so moved just by her acting without her even saying anything, just like her facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Have you seen The Changeling?
Yes, I have.
My God, she's such a good actress.
She is. Like, oh my God. And she's actually, she has been an advocate for human rights for a very long time. And I feel like she is one of the few celebrities that actually like uses her money to help and not just be like, oh my God, I have all this money, fuck everybody else.
Yeah. And I'm so glad she's not with Brad Pitt anymore, because he was an abuser. I know. And I fucking hate Brad Pitt.
I know.
Not that I ever really watched any of his movies. I don't think they were my thing. But now I definitely don't watch any of his movies. You're I'm like, fuck that guy.
Exactly. Why was I literally going to sit here and be like, fuck that guy?
I hate him. He sucks.
He does suck.
Yes. You know how I love Apple TV, but they keep trying to, every time I watch something, they're like, do you want to watch, did I tell you this? The F-150 or something. It's some
That movie with him. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, stop trying to show, I hate him. Stop trying to show me him.
Yeah. They're trying to like get you to watch his
stuff. Stop trying to make Brad Pitt happen.
It's not going to happen.
Has been now. He's not. People don't even know who Brad Pitt is anymore. Like young people. I really feel like that. Like I watched like, I don't know. I watched a TikTok and somebody was like, when I was your age, telling their daughter, like Brad Pitt was like the guy everybody liked. And she's like, yeah. Who's that? I'm like, yeah, he deserves to not be famous anymore. Yeah,
exactly.
Anywho, if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. We are now accepting questions for our Dear Dykes advice segment. Mm-hmm. Send in your dilemmas and get help from us, your favorite lesbian podcasters. There's a link to the job form in the description of this episode, as well as on our link tree on all social media pages.
Welcome back. We are here with another installment of What's Up with the Heteros.
Yeah.
This one's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. I saw this. Well, we'll talk about it. I'll read you the thing first before I tell you.
Before we get into that. Yeah.
Okay. So this is an Am I the Asshole from a straight man. So probably. You're the asshole, I would say. So
it's 9 out of 10 times you're the asshole.
Most likely. So it says, am I the asshole for admitting I might not have been attracted to my wife if I'd met her in high school when she was obese and I was a dumbass? Advice needed. 34 male. I met my wife, Joran, 33 female, in college. She gave birth to our daughter almost a year ago, and it's given rise to—
I'm so sorry. I accidents Jordan.
Oh, it's Jordan?
Yes, but they couldn't.
I was like—
I know. You stopped for a second, and I was
well,
like—
Well, because I was like, is it Joran or Horan? I don't know. I was like, what is the name?
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Okay, her name is Jordan. So she gave birth to our daughter almost a year ago, and it's given rise to a lot of her old insecurities. When I met Jordan, she was tiny and fit. She ate extremely healthy, ran half marathons, and worked out twice a day typically. I thought she was a bit obsessive, but she said she genuinely enjoyed working out and eating healthy. About a year into us dating, Jordan told me she'd been morbidly obese as a kid and as a young teen. Her dad passed away when she was little, and she turned to food for comfort. She said her self-esteem was low and the bullying was severe, and this inspired her to lose the weight. She also told me that part of the reason she's so committed to her fitness is because she doesn't want to slip back into obesity. For our entire relationship, Jordan kept her small frame and remained committed to her fitness. She obviously gained weight during pregnancy and her body looked different after she gave birth. I told her she looked great and that's totally normal, but it really bothered Jordan. She's currently exercising twice a day, complains that she can't lose the baby fat, and asked me if she looks the same as she did before getting pregnant. I've told her she looks great and she's being way too hard on herself, but she's obsessed with her body right now. I sat Jordan down over the weekend and told her she should talk to someone because her focus on weight doesn't seem healthy. Jordan got upset and said, I can say that all I want, but I care how her body looks. She also said she feels a ton of pressure to stay small, so I'll be attracted to her. I was completely taken aback by this and asked why she felt that way. She said that when we were in college, I always commented on how small she was and talked about how I loved being able to lift her up so easily. She said that all of my girlfriends before her were skinny, so I clearly have a type. Jordan then said that there's no way I would have liked her if we'd met when she was in high school and morbidly obese. To be honest, her last comment really resonated with me. I was admittedly shallow and a dumbass in high school. I told her that she might be right, but that's a reflection of me and not her. I told Jordan that I love her more than anything, and she became my best friend over the years, so I'd be attracted to her no matter what she weighed. Jordan thanked me for my honesty, but said my comments confirmed her worst fears. She told me not to worry, but she's been sad and distant ever since. I feel horrible for my comments in college and for confirming her fears. I could have lied, but I think she wouldn't have believed me, and I didn't want to invalidate her feelings because she has a point that my high school self was pretty shallow. I'm not proud of it, but it's the truth. Am I the asshole for being honest with her? Any advice would be appreciated. Okay, this is not the one I thought it was. So I maybe have I would say less strong thoughts than the one that I thought
we're like, no, still we were fuck him. Do.
It's really hard because she, and I can relate to this, has so many insecurities about her body. And I, something terrible that I used to do, and I have not done this since I have matured, is like, I would like see someone that was like really big. And I would be like, I would like ask my wife, is that what I look like? Like, what? That's so mean. Cause then I'm making fun of someone else to try to make myself feel better. But this is like fucked up things that like I would have in my mind. And also, I could see myself asking something like that. Yeah. Like, would you be, it's giving, would you be attracted to me if I was a worm? But not but as like, extreme, but like, would you still date me if I was a worm? It is hard though, because it feels like she was like really letting her insecurities like get to her so much that she like wanted him to say something that she could be upset about. And it's like she baited him into it. And then he did. But I feel that he did a good job by being like, I was an asshole in high school.
And like, high school in itself is like, who is a perfect person in high school? Like, everybody is like a different version, unless you still stay the same version that you were in high school.
Hopefully not. Unless you were really cool in high school.
Unless you were like a good person. But if you were like, oh, I only cared about looks, I only cared about that. I mean, I feel like that is, that's on track for a high school boy. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's different if she was saying like now and he's still like, no, I'm attractive and shit. Like, I only care about looks and I still feel that way, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like he was doing his best to be honest.
I think it's hard because it's like her own shallowness about herself. Like, I have said this before. I'm very vain. I want my wife to think that I am the prettiest girl she's ever seen. And like, I know that there are celebrities and there are people in real life that are hotter than me, but she, I don't want her ever say that. She better think I'm the most beautiful. And so I could see her being like, okay, so him saying I was shallow in high school means that he doesn't think I'm attractive now. And he only likes me because of our relationship that has grown. So that means that I am fat and ugly.
And she's only also worthy of love if I'm small. Yes,
she's also equating being fat with being unattractive, which is her own issues from growing up and probably being bullied, and also the things that you get as a person, especially as a girl growing up. Like, you hear
like the comments from like family, so friends.
Always.
And just in general, like,
my God, those things stick with people forever. Like, I think, you know, I talked about it's like crazy to me because I always felt like, because I was like a bigger kid, I felt like alienated. Like, I was the only one that had those types of family experiences. But I have met so many people that had those same things. And whether or not they are skinny, like the I Can't Think Straight, how the moms were like, oh, you need to watch your weight. I'm like, they're all skinny.
What are you talking about? I had to take your dress down 2 inches. That's how it should be. And I'm like, two inches from what? Like, she's, oh my God.
From nothing?
Literally.
So I can see why she would get upset, because this seems like something that I would have been upset about, like, 8 to 10 years ago. I would have done what she did and twist his words to mean that he thinks that she is unattractive. Still, even though he's saying, when I was in high school, I was an asshole, blah, blah, blah. And I think that he is trying so hard to not hurt her feelings and also to like help her, because it seems like she is like depressed about her weight. And so it's like he's trying to help her, but it's such a weird, hard and touchy subject. Like, it's such a hard and touchy subject. Like, if when I was bigger, my wife mentioned something about my weight, I would have flipped the fuck out on her. And there were also times when we were both bigger where we would like have like issues related to us being tired all the time, blah, blah, blah. And we knew it was because we were both like technically obese, but we weren't gonna like say that to each other, you know? And it's like, there were times when like you kind of want to be like, hey, maybe you want to try this like weight loss thing with me, but you also it's like you never want to accidentally offend them. Yeah.
Like you said, it's like a hard, like it's a so, very touchy subject.
So hard. Yeah. And it's probably extra hard. I don't know if this man has ever struggled with his weight, but it seems like he hasn't because he doesn't seem to understand that. Whereas like in a lesbian relationship, especially where both partners have had like ups and downs with weight, mm-hmm. I think it's easier a little bit to be like to understand where that line is and not accidentally offend each other because it's like
you know
how women are with our like body image.
Yeah.
So point is, I don't think he's the asshole. And that's crazy because usually I'm like, oh man.
When you know it's what's up with the heteros, we're like, oh yeah, the man's the asshole for sure.
But I don't think he is. I think that the wife really needs therapy to learn to love herself outside of what her body looks like.
Yeah.
And maybe that involves, you know, being more active. Like she said that she liked to work out and eat healthy when she was younger, but did she ever really like it or was she like making herself do it? I don't know. But if she did like it, maybe getting back into that will help her because it seems to me like she is depressed.
he said that she was like obsessively working out and like doing all these things, but she still wasn't able to lose the baby fat. But like the thing is too, your body does change after you give birth. Not that like obviously we don't have kids, but like in general, you know, like that's usually what happens. And I feel like I agree, she needs that therapy. And I don't think that like her having her kid forced her to see like, okay, my body is going to change as I get older, as I do these things, you know? And it doesn't mean that like you have to be literally so small your entire life. Mm-hmm. I know there are some people like that. But everybody's different, you know?
Yeah.
And she's...
I mean, a lot of people... There are some people that, like, stay tiny even though they have
after they
kids,
give birth,
but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Yeah. But, yeah, I think that she really needs therapy. I think especially because they have a child now. And I...
Oh, yeah.
My fear is always, like, passing on that negativity about yourself to your child. And actually, I talk about this all the time, which I probably shouldn't because I'm not a parent. But it makes me so – as a former child, okay, I
you have a right to your opinion, right. Okay?
And I hated hearing my mom talk about how big her thighs were and how ugly she thought she was because then I thought that – I was ugly and that I always felt like I was too big or like my boobs were too saggy or whatever because I just shared her insecurities because I literally like
– You're hearing
I have the same body type as her. I was like born from her, you know? Yeah. And I just don't want her to pass on those things to this child and them to have those types of issues. So she really needs to get some therapy and do some self-work.
I agree.
To not pass that to the kid.
A rare moment when the man is not an asshole.
I know.
I don't think she's the asshole, but she does need therapy. She does need that help.
Yeah. So I'm glad we picked this one because look, we're not
growing.
We're not always just hating on men.
Exactly.
Sometimes they're not in the wrong.
Like men are okay sometimes.
Okay. So we're going to do one little queer trivia each. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, yes. Okay. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Oh.
In which TV show was Bella Ramsey's breakout performance?
I think I know this.
A, Game of Thrones. B, His Dark Materials. C, The Last of Us. Or D, Hilda.
Okay, that's hard because we're saying their breakout role.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it has to be The Last of Us because that's where they were really popular with Pedro Pascal. Is it? Because if it's the Game of Thrones, I know they starred in Game of Thrones, but that can't be. No. Okay.
Yeah. I think that there's.
I feel like more people knew them after The Last of Us.
For sure. Me, because I didn't.
You didn't watch Game of Thrones. Yeah. And I never watched Game of Thrones either, but I know that they were in there.
Because it was such a popular show and they were on it, I think they're counting that as their breakout because people knew of them.
You know what? That makes sense.
I guess.
All right. I got that one wrong. Okay.
That's okay. Ask me one.
Okay. I'm going to go for the middle. Okay. Which type of animal same-sex couple raised a baby together, inspiring the children's book And Tango Makes Three. Is it A, seahorses, B, otters, C, bears, or D, penguins? I don't know. I was going to say penguins.
Yeah, you were just penguins. Making it, I just can't ever Spanish.
Speak. I know.
Now I feel like this might be throwing me off because I assumed that it was penguins because I know that there are gay man penguins. Mm-hmm. But now I'm wondering if it's something else. But I'm going to go with penguins.
You're correct.
Yes. Okay. Do you, well, I don't know. You didn't really watch Parks and Rec.
No, I didn't. I see episodes, but I never like got into it.
Okay, you got to watch the whole thing. Well, there's first just so we have many to things watch I need Buffy, to watch. So yeah. Never mind. But in Parks and Rec, in like one of the first episodes, Amy Poehler's character like married these two penguins in like this cute marriage ceremony. But then she found out after that it was two boy penguins. So then all of these like right wing people were like mad at her and were like, she can't work for the government. You have to annul the marriage. Like blah 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 because it's gay. And then, but then like the gay club, the Bulge like invited her and she was having so much fun and she's like ooh, yes. Anyway, that's what I thought of. I was like, yeah, gay penguins because the penguins
and
were
you
gay
were right exactly
yeah. Okay, so this was really fun even though there were sad parts.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for tuning in to But I'm a Lesbian. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe on every platform that you're on. Yes, all of them, please. Leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, we're just two lesbians with mics out here trying to survive.
And tune in next week for a deep dive on Carmen and Lola, a 2018 Spanish WLW love story, available on, of course, Tubi and Plex.
Yes. We will see you next Tuesday. Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.